Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
I'm a pout pout fish with a pout pout face for spread injury worries all over the place. Blub, blub, blub. I have the whole book memorized.
Well, it's not a lot of words to memorize.
Okay, let me try that again. Let you try that again. I have the whole book memorized.
What?
I have the whole book.
The whole book? I have the entirety of Christmas Eve on Sesame Street memorized.
I'm gonna try one more time. Okay. I have the whole book memorized.
The whole book? I don't know what you want me to do.
That's really cool, John.
Oh, that's very cool, John.
That's so impressive.
I'm so impressed.
Thank you. I've read that book thousands of times over the course of the last 11 years.
Yeah, if you had a baby after 2008, pretty much you did.
Yep. They somehow made a movie. We're talking about the Pout Pout Fish movie. Which you may not have even seen. I saw zero previews for it on TV.
There's two things in this episode. Pout Pout Fish.
And Super Mario Galaxy. Mario.
Like, what if they want to know what the second one is?
We're going to talk about Mario. Maybe we should have reversed it too, but don't care. We're not going to.
Yeah.
Pout Pout Fish.
Pout Pout Fish.
A book that takes 2 minutes to read was made into a full feature film. Nothing that happens in the book besides him being grumpy and potentially not being grumpy at the end, it happens in the movie.
Correct.
Except for that part.
Yep.
And I saw zero trailers for it, even though Ron Swanson is in it. He's the main voice actor.
Yes.
He has a real name.
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. They have a star-studded cast doing the voices.
Yeah.
I only heard about it when I went to go see a different movie. I think it was actually one from the last month that we filmed, and I saw a poster for it.
Yeah, that's how I saw it.
That's when I went home and like looked it up. And my kids, I was like, my kids are gonna be so excited. Like, they love this book. And even my daughter, who's six, was like, I'm a little old for that. And I was like, no, they were just a little bit too late. They needed to make the movie 4 years ago so that all three of my older children would be so excited to see it.
Yes.
We're gonna watch it because I want my kids to see it.
Okay.
Just for nostalgic reasons.
Yeah, none of my kids were interested in it at all, including my five-year-old, which was a little bit odd to me, because I thought, like, this was, when we picked this as a movie, we were like, this is going to be great. Like, Pout Pout Fish is one of those books that everybody has read to their kids, at least if they're our age, all their kids know that book. I first heard that book, it's such a fast read that before I converted to Catholicism, so when I was still a Protestant, you can just talk about whatever in your sermon as a Protestant. It doesn't have to be about the reading. It doesn't have to be about the feast day. You can just talk crazy, okay? That's how it works. So my Protestant pastor, the first time I ever heard Pout Pout Fish was because he read it from the pulpit. I don't know what's going on in that church, but he was talking about how, like, you know, how you see yourself the way God sees you or something like that. I don't remember what the theme of that sermon was, but it was such a fast read that he read it aloud during church and nobody thought it was like over, it wasn't like a huge part of the message. And it's so like repetitive and like a good kid's book that the entire congregation was saying it along with him by the time he got to the third, you know, I'm a pout pout fish with a pout pout face. You know, that's like everybody's got it. So I was thinking, like, this is going to be such a good movie. And it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So in the book, it's this Pout Pout Fish who meets these different ocean creatures. Mm-hmm. And just basically they ask him always why he's gloomy.
Yeah.
Turn that frown upside down. And he just says he's a Pout Pout Fish. This is who he is.
Yep.
And then he meets this shimmering fish that kisses him and he becomes a kiss fish. What a great sermon.
Yes.
You know, this is who God made you to be. You choose joy, all of those things.
Sure.
And then the movie is like they're misplaced and they need to find a new place to live and they can make wishes. And it's this whole thing that has nothing to do at all with the book besides that he's grumpy and needs to not be grumpy anymore. It is that, like, there's good lessons of friendship in it, good lessons of choosing joy, be who you're created to be, all that stuff. But like you said, it is just very much one of those movies that we talk about. We need the good, true, and the beautiful movies.
Yep.
And then we also need like something that's mildly entertaining.
Fine.
That you can put on when you need to kill an hour and a half and get some stuff done around the house while the kids watch a movie.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like back in the day, we used to say like when we were kids, our parents were always concerned if we were watching too many movies or whatever. But because the attention span of kids has gotten so short, like getting kids to sit down and watch an hour and a half long movie is almost an exercise in and of itself of teaching them attention span. So I don't hate it for that reason. Like if you're thinking, I just don't want any screens in my house, like, I don't know, it's an hour and a half. It'll keep them focused for at least that long. I mean, we just saw Project Hail Mary for another episode, and it was such a different experience. They both came out on the same day. So, you know, seeing them one right after the other like that, it was just like, oh, man, that was so good. That was fine.
Well, like, Project Hail Mary did very well in the box office, and Pout Fish was out after 2 weeks in most theaters.
Yeah, I think it lasted a week most places.
It's not available streaming yet.
We would love to tell you where you can find it streaming, but so far, no go.
Yeah, it's in like a couple theaters.
Fandango.com is the only place I could find where you could possibly rent it.
Yeah. As far as other aunts for kids, there's some slapstick humor, fart jokes and potty jokes, which are hilarious.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
No sex, no drugs, no violence.
People are going to think they have a feel for my politics, but I'm Catholic. So you might not.
What?
Or you might. But I always say that there's just no hidden agenda, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can see a kid's movie and they're not trying to force any type of ideology down your throat is a nice thing.
That is nice.
So put it on, watch it. It's also not so boring that you wouldn't watch it with your kids. So you can watch it with your kids or you can put it on, trust it, it's good.
And I think, and this is sort of like an inside, go ahead.
Any age.
Yes, any age. This is kind of an inside baseball thing, but we talk about a little bit like wanting to have more interesting or cool movies. And lately, it's been a situation where if the thing you're about to make doesn't have any tests, like it's not known intellectual property, then they're not going to make the movie. Like you have to have shown that this is a sequel or it's going to be a successful part of a franchise or something. And this was a successful movie that they made, or a successful book, I'm sorry, that they made into a movie that did not succeed very well in the theaters. And it kind of gives me a little hope that's like, you can't just back on a famous name. You actually have to make something interesting and exciting to make it work. So
that's not
me dancing on its grave or anything, but I was just not
it. That said, hey Siri, remind me to check how much money Pout Fish makes on streaming services 1 year from today.
That's a good point.
Because it's still a crazy good book. And all the new parents with 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds who are reading the book now are going to be scrolling through whatever up on. And they're going to be like, oh my gosh, a Pout Fish movie. And I would have been one of those parents a couple years ago.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about Super Mario Galaxy.
The Galaxy of Mario.
Is that what it's called?
No. You were right. I was just...
Am I right though? Is it Super Mario Galaxy or just Mario Galaxy?
It's the Super Mario Galaxy movie.
Great. So we did an episode on the first Mario.
We sure did.
And I remember not liking the movie. I didn't hate the movie. It was entertaining, but I just remember there were things about it that I didn't like. And it didn't have the nostalgia factor for me.
You didn't like that Mario was too much of like a weakling, that Princess Peach ended up being the hero of everything. And he was sort of bumbling. Like she had to teach him how to use Mario.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
you didn't enjoy that at all.
And then at the same time, there were a bunch of, we'll get to that later. We're going to get to that later. I have a whole thing.
Okay.
I want to talk about Princess Peach and Mario.
Okay, go for it.
But I thought this Mario was 10 times better than the first one.
Okay.
And I can't wait to tell you why. But first you have to give us the beautiful story of what it is. And what a beautifully written story it is.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the Mario movie, Bowser has been turned into this tiny little guy by Princess Peach so that he's captured and like kept in a safe space. So he's with Mario and Luigi and Princess Peach in her Mushroom Land palace. But somewhere off in the distance, another princess who we don't really know, who's in charge of all these little star guys.
That are adorable.
Adorable. We saw the one in the first movie. Remember, he was rocking back and forth.
Yep.
The infinite embrace of death. Anyway, she gets kidnapped by some sort of robot monster that eventually becomes apparent that it's Bowser Jr. And he has kidnapped her for some sort of evil scheme, which we later find out is to power this sort of death ship, his own version of the Death Star that he and his father, Bowser Sr., thought up as a sort of a bedtime story. So Bowser Jr. is trying to get Bowser Sr. back so that they can go to their Death Star ship powered by princesses and destroy the universe.
Yes.
That's the whole plot.
Insert Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Toad, Yoshi. And another dinosaur.
And another dinosaur. Why are there so many dinosaurs?
So many dinosaurs.
It was so good.
It was, I thought this was 10 times better than the first Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I remember, like, the thing I think I remembered most about the first Mario was that I didn't feel nostalgic. And when you're watching a movie that is based off a video game that was the first video game I ever played when I was 5 or 6 years old, there should be way more nostalgia than there was in the first one. There was some, but I expected more. In the second one, there were way more callbacks to the games. It was funnier. Bowser having this like moment of healing and he's a good guy now was super endearing. And then he becomes a villain again towards the end. And then potentially is redeemed again at the end.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're going to do with that. I'm sure there'll be a third one. But I thought this one was just pure entertainment. And I don't go to a Mario movie thinking I can't wait to learn moral lessons. And I'm sure you can pick some in there. I just want to go and be entertained. I want my kids to be entertained and I want to laugh and have some throwbacks. And I thought this one did a much better job of that than the first one.
Yeah, I think I had a little bit more fun with this one. I think there was two big factors for that. I don't really love dumb kid movies. You know, I go to them and I'm fine with it. But I was hoping for a little bit more nostalgia in the first one, but it was fine. Everything was fine. It was fine. But the two big factors for the nostalgia for me for this one was Yoshi. Was huge. Yoshi is the factor for me in the Mario thing. I think Yoshi was put into the game just to make little girls interested in Mario. I'm almost positive. Because we were not like, oh, Princess Peach, so exciting. We're like, Toad, Yoshi, yes. That is where we hang our hat. But also, Star Fox showed up. Fox McCloud from Star Fox.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. But like, it was like the Donkey Kong scene from the first one. The other video game character that they brought in was Donkey Kong in the first one. I never played Donkey Kong, so I didn't care. But I did play Star Fox. And so when Fox McCloud showed up, I was like, oh, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like, and I've read a little bit about this online, like they are teasing us for a Smash Brothers movie.
Ooh.
It seems like that's where we're going because those are the starting players in Super Smash Brothers. They're introducing the princesses that showed up in Super Smash Brothers. They're introducing, you know, Fox McCloud is in there. Donkey Kong is in there. So, you know, see how it goes. But it seems like we're getting there.
I will say, it, as much as I didn't like the first one, it is time. We need a Donkey Kong feature movie. We need a Super Smash Bros. Give me a Star Fox one. When they showed Star Fox, I was like, there's no way. There's just no way that that's actually him. And then I remembered like, oh, it's Nintendo's property, so it could be him. And it was.
It absolutely
and I
was.
And then they showed like scenes from that game as well. Like, I just thought they did such a good job with this movie. And my complaint about the first one, with Peach being super amazing and strong and having to teach Mario how to do anything, which is, I wasn't that mad about it, but like, it's just slightly annoying.
You were on a kick.
I thought in this one, they did a perfect job of just like having every single character be really, really good.
Yeah.
Princess Peach was self-sacrificial and was an absolute beast. Mm-hmm. Mario and Luigi both same. They kind of finally leaned into a little bit more of the love story of Mario loving Princess Peach. No spoilers there, but like I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there were moments when Peach needed to save people, and there were moments when Mario needed to save Peach. And I like, that's good.
Yep.
That's good.
I was very
nothing
excited.
Wrong with that.
I was very excited to see Princess Rosalina, who's in the games, rather. She first shows up in Mario Galaxy, which is like a 2008-ish version of for GameCube from a long time ago. And her whole backstory is in that game, whereas previously nobody had a backstory before 2008. My daughter didn't believe me. She's like, how do you make a video game with no characters, the backstory? I'm like, the backstory is go forward, get flag, done.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Jump on mushrooms and turtles.
But her whole backstory was that she had no mother. She was abandoned by or let, you know,
lost.
She was taken away from her parents, whatever. I don't think they were abandoned. It's not like her parents were bad people kind of thing. Just she was separated from her parents. And because she wanted a mother so badly, she became mother to all the little star guys. And she was she's very much like a feminine character. So one of the complaints that you have is that the men always seem like bumbling idiots. And one of the complaints I always have is that like in an attempt to be feminist, we try to make women men. And instead of like embracing the cool things about a feminine character who's like, you know, she sacrifices herself to be able to save her little star babies. She's kind of powerless the entire time because she's tied up to a machine to, you know, power the Death Star kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just appreciate that she's allowed to be a feminine character. She doesn't have to be a butt kicker, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. And She is a little bit of a bucket girl.
Little bit.
When she needs to be. Like, I thought the opening scene in that movie where she's just being this incredible mom and mm-hmm. loving all these adorable stars
yeah.
was so endearing.
She's reading to her kids.
And then, like, some robot shows up and she fights like crazy for him. Like, it mm-hmm. was awesome.
Yeah.
And the whole story between her and Princess Peach was great. Like, I just thought...
Yeah.
I had a whole bunch of people that I trust tell me that they hated this movie and that it was dumb and that it would like there was no point to it. And mm-hmm. so I went in thinking I'll hate it even more than the first one. And I thought it was awesome. And I'm now looking forward to more Nintendo movies. There are some scary characters in it and like some violent moments, but it's not bad at all. I mean, it's just like my kids who are very, very, well, one in particular, scared of lots of things. They loved the movie, had no complaints the entire time. So there's no language.
Nope.
There's nothing.
Nothing. There's no sex, no drugs, no references to sex or drugs, which is such a weird thing to have to say. But all the time in little kids' movies, you'll have like veiled references to weird stuff. And there's none of that. So it's a pure kids' movie. I think, you know, appropriate for the age, whatever age your kid can sit through a movie.
Yeah. And worth seeing as a whole family. Adults should not skip this one. Adults, you can skip Pow Pow Fish, but do not skip Mario Galaxy. It was super fun. And Bowser. Just a great character. And like the only...
And now he's the Skeletor Bowser.
Yeah. The only thing that made me slightly uncomfortable was just how evil Bowser Jr. could be mm-hmm. without having like any real influence from his dad for most of his life.
Yeah.
But also it was kind of a cool thing of like, you know, always a father's son. Can't avoid that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a very cute little... It was a cute father-son thing, even when they were bad guys. Like, the bad guy-ness of it was just, like, it was pure bad guy and not, like, you know, they always try to make, like, the reason he's being a bad guy is this. I appreciated that about Bowser Jr. was that he was just a bad guy for the sake of being a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no reason for it. And it's almost laughable then that, like, okay, you're problematic.
Just because I'm bad guy does not mean I'm bad guy.
Yeah. But he is. Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Exactly. That's just, the kids need those lines. Good, evil, whatever.
Yeah. Enjoy Mario. Let the kids enjoy Pow Pow Fish.
Yeah. There's just so much content out there for us to wade through as parents.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?